B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another week of Checkpoint Daily. On today's show, we'll be talking about which high fashion brand is joining forces with Fortnite to bring you even more high-priced gear. Also, we'll be talking about Valorant Masters. It's all done and dusted, and we give you the rundown of what happened in Berlin. Also, Twitch finally could be having a deal that seals up DMCA. No more strikes for you if this all works out. And of course, because it's Monday, we talk Marvel Monday with Robbie Landis. This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Your host, Norris Hauer, as usual. Happy to be back in the studio on this glorious Monday. I'm joined by two of the usual suspects to my left, Weird Beard. What's happening?
Hello. Another weekend dusted in the books. I like the way you phrased it for
done and dusted.
Done and dusted. It feels like it because we got through Valorant and now I'm released back into the wild. It feels good.
Yeah, I see you with the old Dirt McGirt shirt today.
My favorite episode of Cribs is where ODB, Old Dirty Bastard, goes and picks up his welfare check in a limo, and it's
no, that was True Life.
Or sorry, True Life.
That was True Life. Oh, the best episode of Cribs is Redman.
Yes, Redman
and his regular ass house.
Yes.
That is if you for all the youngsters out there, there used to be a show called MTV Cribs where celebrities will walk through clearly rented houses and show off like what they did.
This is my my wrapped furniture. It obviously looks like nobody lives here.
Yeah.
But it's so
I can't
nice.
Remember who it was, but there was some major producer who no one knew, so I don't know why they did a Cribs on this guy, just because he had a lot of money probably and
Scott
had a nice
Storch.
House. Scott Storch.
And like it was just Mariah Carey just chilling in the background of the chair, and like they made no mention of it.
Just,
she was just
whatever.
There in the background of the house. I thought that was hilarious.
I miss MTV Cribs. But now we have Instagram, and we see everybody's cribs.
And do you think anybody would want to see like how rich ass people live nowadays?
I literally just watched a bunch of stuff of $44 million house tours.
See?
So yes,
I think you underestimate just how much. Dude, part of what made the Kardashians so popular is people want to see how they decorated their house.
Oh my god,
that's true.
So, I mean, whatever. And also, what new parts they've bolted onto themselves. Chad, what's up?
I'm here. I got back from a wedding not too long ago, so I'm...
Are you still hungover?
I'm not hungover, but, like, you know when, like, you just like, haven't caught up on the sleep that you lost that one night, and no matter what, it just doesn't catch up? I'm there for a bit.
All right.
You just gotta push through it. You'll be good.
Yeah. I believe in you. Anyway. With all that said, here's what's happening in the world of video games. Now, I just want to say this off the rip, okay? Y'all know me, and y'all know that I'm bougie, and y'all know I love me some high fashion brands. I love looking good, because when you look good, you feel good, right? Well, Balenciaga, if you are unfamiliar, they're a Spanish high fashion brand.
Spashion.
They're collaborating with Fortnite to bring a number of new skins and pickaxes and sprays and a whole bunch of stuff to the game. In addition to, they're making some ugly ass hot like jackets that just they're like tour jackets. You remember back in the day how you had band tour jackets
with all the dates on the back?
Yeah, it's like that, but for Fortnite, which I just think is, I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm not a big fan of these.
Hey, there's some good ones in there. I really love the tiger striped dress. That's gorgeous.
Well, that's the in-game skins. Let me just say,
I think the actual stuff.
I think the in-game skins.
Hey, if they bring out that dress, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the in-game skins are way cooler
than the actual stuff,
which is the opposite of how I felt about the League of Legends Louis Vuitton stuff, where I felt like the real life stuff was just as cool, if not cooler, than the skins that are in the game.
Fair enough.
So, you know, anyway, Chad, as somebody who also likes to look good and feel good, how do you feel about this? You also still play Fortnite, and I do not.
I do. I think they made a smart choice in making it very streetwear Yeah. Because the demo, let's be honest, this is going to be a younger demo than League of Legends. Yeah. 100%. So it makes sense that there's going to be very hoodie oriented. I love the fact that they put the hoodie on the pug.
Yeah.
Good idea. I don't know. There's some smart ideas here. A lot of it's very, it's not necessarily me, but I don't want to say it's not a good idea because
I think it's a great idea.
I meant like as far as like the choice of what the clothing looks like.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say that.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. I think this should be a yearly thing. I think we should totally have Digital Fashion Week.
Oh, are you kidding? I think we're already there. I've seen during COVID, I've seen Moschino. I can always say it, Moschino. I don't know why. I want to call it Moschino because it sounds better.
Yeah.
Moschino do a lot of really cool things with it. Who else did I see did a really good – I think it was Louis Vuitton.
Mm-hmm.
Did a really cool digital only
– Louis Vuitton, I think, was the first ever to use an entirely fictional model.
Yeah.
They use Lightning.
Right?
No, they use Lightning from Final Fantasy 13 in a promotion.
Yeah, that's right.
Back in the day.
There's kind of leaning that way, especially in post-COVID.
But I'm just saying, like, could you imagine, let's say we take League or Fortnite or whatever the hot game is at the moment, and we just get high fashion brands to just design skins in it. Like,
it would be kind of a
could you imagine if next year in Valorant, mm-hmm. Rick, as our Valorant fan, if in Valorant you have Digital Fashion Week where you get each character gets a skin designed by a high fashion
house.
Would
you care though?
Well, they don't have skins in Valorant. They have like the gun skins. That's the only skins that they have.
That doesn't mean we can't.
No, I know. I see, I'm always torn on this kind of stuff because, like, part of me cares, part of me just does not care, right? Like, I understand from the economic side is where I come from understanding it. Like, notice how it's all Balenciaga and it's Louis Vuitton. It's like it's brands that can spend that are doing this. It's not like TJ Maxx week to where
TJ Maxx doesn't show up at Fashion Week.
You know what? At the same point, I do see what you're saying because like if H&M did this, they've got money and they're an affordable brand. And to be fair, I found and I bought a few things of League of Legends merch from H&M. So I don't know why they don't
H&M
do
H&M could do it. Uniqlo could do it.
Yes, 100%.
Topshop could do it.
Ooh, Zara.
Zara could do it. So there's some fast fashion brands that could do it. It doesn't always have to be haute couture.
And it doesn't have to be like the low end of fast fashion. I'm not saying Forever 21.
Yeah, you don't have to go trashy.
But H&M, you know, that's that middle tier. Zara, also middle tier. I think that we should see more of that.
I agree.
So you want to see the H&M Zara Valorant collab.
Yeah, like something that like, listen, something that I can actually go out and buy. Mm-hmm. I'm not buying none of this shit. None of it. Literally nothing that's ever been promoted.
Well, also at the same time, I think there's space for both because I still think that there's a certain aspect of aspirational that certain stuff should be, especially when it comes to digital goods because there's no reason you charge me $500 for digital goods. And the thing is, that's not the ask. For the skins, the ask, and this is the thing I think a lot of people get caught up on. For the digital goods, the ask is not $500. The ask is like $20.
Yeah.
And so for most people, $20 on the skin in a game that they play more than they actually physically go outside is a better use of that money, if you will. So I would love it. Listen, the Balenciaga, Louis Vuitton, all y'all, holla at me. Digital Fashion Week. This is the move. Riot, get on the horn. You already got the relationships. I'm telling you, if it was a yearly thing where it was like, oh, man, Which character is Louis Vuitton gonna get this year? Which character is Balenciaga? Which character is Fendi gonna get this year? Like, I would love that, and I think it would serve as a great way to take esports and kind of put it on the next level in terms of
esports only though.
Esports, video games, whatever, and kind of put it on that next echelon of like people take this seriously as a medium.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, so anyway, speaking of Valorant, obviously the Valorant Masters went down over the weekend.
Yes.
The grand finals. We were supposed to do better in A. We were supposed to do better.
And we were talking about how we were the only option for winning.
And it went to the freaking Russians.
Three teams from North America were in the knockout stages, all on the same side of the bracket. And
which by the way, I saw a lot of people poo-pooing that, but I get it because they probably didn't want to NA final.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And more than that, though, the team that most people would have put third out of that, they would have gone Sentinels, 100 Thieves, Envy. Envy's the one that made it all the way through. So you have Envy taking on not Ascend from EU, not Vision Strikers from Korea.
All these big names.
Not G2, the ones that beat Sentinels in the no. Gambit. And, like...
Now, by the way, Gambit did take... What was it? They took Sentinels to the brink. It was 100 Thieves. Yes. They took 100 Thieves to the brink.
Yes.
So this was a team we knew was good.
Yes.
But they just weren't on the same level as those NA powerhouses you just named, nor Vision Strikers. But they come out as champions.
They also did it without dropping a map during knockout stages. They didn't lose.
What was the clincher here? What was the reasoning behind the fall of one Sentinels and then them being able to get it up to the end?
Two things. First thing, the meta is in a completely different place inside of the game than it was during the Reykjavik time frame, right? Yeah. Like there was enough map changes to where, like, Icebox was still a newer map competitively. You didn't have Breeze in the mix, which is, you know, something that was just banned out, essentially. But you also had the character of Astra was a player that was just introduced.
Yeah.
And it turned it into, like, European CSGO to where you would end up spending the first minute 30 of a two-minute round throwing out all your smokes and flashes and just wait for it, and then you aim duel to go in. That's where you have players like Shazam, you have Tens, you have Dapper, you have Sick, you have Zoms. They're all cracked aimers. So if you can go and just aim it, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be okay. That's not where the meta is right now. Like, it isn't.
It's the Jett meta, baby.
Yeah.
Go fight.
It's Jett meta. It's a lot of also, they've been at the top for a while. You know what I mean? Like, we talked about Sentinels, Valorant as being completely infallible. Like, there was just no way that they could lose. And it's because they hadn't dropped any international maps whatsoever. But then it shows you, like, you get out of NA in this new meta and you have to go out there and actually fight for your spot. You know, they didn't make it through. And, again, Envy have struggled a lot in North America alone. Like, they got their ass kicked quite a few times. They were able to make it through and make it to the finals and kind of got shit stomped there as well. So props to Gambit. You know, the biggest thing coming out of it is the fact that, A, Gambit now has the second-ranked CSGO team in the world, and they just won Berlin for Valorant. That's okay. Like cross-FPS supremacy. But also, you had the fact that the viewership topped out at, like, 888,000 viewers for
just concurrent. Is that what we talk
concurrent
about? Concurrent. Okay.
Across the, like, tournament, and that was for the match that the Sentinels lost. It was actually double the viewer ratings for the grand finals.
But again, it's because, you know, the heavy hitters weren't there. No 100 Thieves and no Sentinels, and I honestly think, looking at this, I think is a massively missed opportunity for NA to finally step up and say we are dominant at something besides Overwatch.
Yes.
And I think it was a really, really, really unfortunate and honestly a weak showing from Sentinels in the knockout stages. It felt like they just rolled over. Because I don't know what happened. I don't know if they were tired. I don't know if it was fatigue. But everybody else played the same amount of matches in the same time frame. So I honestly don't know what happened.
Just need to be knocked down.
Not just meta-wise, but in the matches that I watched, in the knockout stages, they just looked woefully unprepared.
Was there anything
it didn't make sense.
Possibly behind the scenes that we just don't know about? Or what do you think? Was it just like poor showing?
Well, I mean, if you're the team that has the target, right? Like, people are going to watch your vids the most.
Right.
You're the enemy, you know, non grata. You're the one that they're going to focus on. So I think that just, like, that's tough to overcome. That's hard to do it so that every time you play a game, every team is studying you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, it's tough.
You
but
the one thing I'll say before we move on here is I asked all the reporters who were doing the behind the scenes press interviews and stuff like that. My question to them was, is Sentinels losing good for the North American scene, or is North American Valorant more hype when you have a super team running the league like the Warriors in the NBA a couple of years ago? Do you want to guess what the resounding answer was?
I'm torn because I feel like we argue this all the time, but I'm going to say they're going to lean more.
I'm going to say they want a team that can win.
So they super teams make for really easy narrative work for writers, and that's about it. It can mean the Europeans overtaking NA for that top spot and just completely destroying them. But most people said like, there are way more upstart European teams and teams that are coming in from like Turkey, like Supermassive Blaze. You have teams in Japan and Korea that are all surging. North America got the head start right now. And Sentinels losing means that you have other organizations that are fighting to get to the top, which is better for the NA scene overall right now.
No, right? I would tend to agree with that simply because North America, by virtue of both geography and ideology, often sits on an island. We do our own thing. We don't really feel the need to have to compete globally. We don't do a lot of the stuff that other regions do in order to get better. And I think through this, Sentinels, 100 Thieves, and even Team Envy to a certain extent will go back to the drawing board and say, you know what, guys, we probably need to start thinking about who we're scrimming and not just, you know, being the best in our region.
Yes, exactly.
Now, we're going to go back to Rick because a big thing is happening here in Twitch. Now, I know one of the biggest things that YouTube has on Twitch is the DMCA issues. You have a lot more freedom on YouTube to not get struck down by some random blip of music, of which, if it happens enough time, you're at risk of losing your entire channel, some of which people have spent years to build. Apparently, there is an agreement potentially on the floor that could help with this entire situation. Rick, what's the information on this?
Well, you got to remember, a licensing agreement between Twitch and music labels has apparently been in the works for years, according to this report that's coming out from Billboard, with Twitch frequently promising that a deal is coming soon for, quote, for almost years now, which is true. It always feels like it's like talking about the Switch Pro. People always say that it's coming next month, and it's like, Grandma, it's not happening. Please stop saying the same thing over and over.
It's just weird because they reference music labels as it's one entity. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I feel like if Twitch would have been like, we're talking to Sony right now, we're talking to this record label, we're talking to this, whatever, whatever, it would have been a much more solid answer than, we're talking to music.
So now what they're doing is, according to this report that came out from Billboard, Twitch and the National Music Publishers Association, or the NMPA, are close to signing a music licensing agreement that would put an end to the ongoing DMCA saga on the platform, perhaps even as early by the end of September of this year. So by the, end of this month.
I mean, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. The reason why I think this is such a big deal is because there are so many music groups that are still up in the air. Chad, like you said, there's no deal with Sony, no deal with Universal, no deal with Warner, no deal with so many outlets that are responsible for the most popular music on Earth that it just, first of all, it's Amazon. This is Amazon we're talking about, right? At the end of the day,
if you really think about it, they already technically have a deal in a different capacity.
But that's what I'm saying is that to me, there's no excuse as to why this has taken so long. And the problem is because they have no idea how to monetize it. Like, at the end of the day, let's keep it for real. It's not about, we want to keep people off the platform or we want to punish people.
And I don't even think it's necessarily Twitch. It's the music.
It's the music industry. They have not figured out how to monetize people playing their music on the streams. That's all it is at the end of the day.
And I also think that it's Twitch's hand is being forced at least a little bit with a lot of these problems that streamers and the people that make them money have been having
Twitch
with the platform.
Suffers.
Yes. I think, like, hate raids and racism and all this other shit that they want to talk about, while important, I don't want to be glib about it.
Yeah.
But it's much easier to solve a music licensing problem
than racism.
Than yeah. racism in people.
Like, it's kind of weird to say, like, yeah, Twitch is solving racism. That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. So, I completely agree with you on this one, Rick. But I think also a very important thing here is that music, and I tend to not go out on a whole ass industry very often. Music as an industry loves being the last motherfucker to the party. They were the last motherfuckers to the party when it came to the internet. They're the last motherfuckers to the party when it comes to format switches. They're the last motherfuckers to the party when it comes to a lot of stuff. And the thing about it is that they didn't realize the upside to playing nice with Twitch.
Yeah.
The upside to playing nice with the streaming industry. Gaming could have said, guys, they're playing our game. We did not authorize this shit. We need all the money we could get. Da, 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 da. Gaming could have did that, but they didn't. Why? Because because they realized that there is more money to be made by having these people expose millions to their game as opposed to trying to nickel and dime everybody.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering, hey, the music industry, you know, you're not seeing as many concerts, not seeing as many new artists pop off, not seeing as much this, this, that, and the other, it's because they're struggling for money just like everybody else.
Now, here's the creative exercise we can do with this. What's this deal look like? Do you think that streamers have to pay to be covered by a music license?
Let me tell you something. If they were smart, that's exactly what they would do. Because if you were a Twitch partner, right, and you said, all right, maybe it's cheaper for partners or whatever the hell, or excuse me, more expensive for partners or whatever, hey, pay us $14.99 a month, or if you're a successful channel, $14.99 out of what you get from Twitch, so you don't even see it, you get our premium music license, no content strikes. Don't worry about it. But on the flip side, for the people who can't afford it, don't want to spend it, there's a blanket. Mm-hmm. There's a blanket deal that says we'll just mute your stream, or we'll just mute portions of your stream. You won't get strikes. You won't get this. Your channel is not in jeopardy of being taken down, but your VODs will be muted. I think if you do it that way, that's a nice happy medium. But I think for certain people, I don't know. For me, especially when I'm playing like a fighting game or something, dude, I'll pay $10 a month to be able to stream my whole ass Spotify playlist like directly into the stream.
It wouldn't be any
different
than actually, the price-wise, at least paying for Spotify, which essentially does the same thing.
Yeah, so I think that'd actually be really, really, really
intelligent.
Because
music's not like movies. It's not like even games even. The thing that's nice about music is replayability is just natural. It just is what it is because you're going to listen to like that album over and over because you really love that song. It's not like movies where, sure, there might be a handful that you watch over and over.
But also that's a 2-hour investment. Yeah, you got to sit down and listen and watch the whole movie.
And plus there's stuff in the background. Like you don't always pay attention to every song that comes on the radio.
Yeah.
But you may like hear one or two and then the rest is just background noise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I honestly think this is a net positive. I think this is a good thing ultimately. Yes, I will forewarn Twitch users and streamers across the world. If you think the buck somehow will not be passed to you about this, think again. There will be something somewhere to which the streamers and consumers will have to pay in or buy in or because at the end of the day this is about making money.
Well,
let's just be honest.
We're so convinced that, look, we have to support our streamers,
maybe I'm
support
cynical.
Our artists, support this. Yet we're afraid to actually do it when there's a corporate entity behind it, which I get. Okay, don't give them to the corporate overlords. I get that. But at the same time, if you love Ariana Grande, if you love Drake, if you love
Snoop
Dogg,
you go buy the album.
You're going to buy the album. Support them. You're literally
stealing.
So
you think
that,
you think that doesn't go to Interscope
at the same
or
time,
whoever?
How is it any different? I know that they're bigger and they have much more money. How is it any different than literally like maybe stealing someone's artwork off of Fiverr
or
something like that?
It's also once Twitch does this, every other streaming platform moving forward has to.
Right.
And period. The end.
And it makes sense. And then it goes back to why we don't steal music anymore and we all use Spotify or some type of music thing now or a streaming service because it's so easy and convenient.
And people people will pay for it if you make it easy for them.
Easy and affordable.
Yeah.
Those two things will do wonders for the
flat out.
Industry.
And by the way, the last point I want to say on this is that this is another reason why music needed to speed the hell up, because if you look at the growth on the music portion of Twitch and you look at how many concerts and other things that they put on Twitch, there is no reason for them. Dude, one of the biggest streams over the past year was Rolling Loud.
Yeah.
A concert stream.
Okay.
It's one of the biggest streams of the last year across the board. Yes, music needed to wake the fuck up and make this deal more than Twitch did.
I mean,
Twitch was going to be fine.
How cool would it be to have like a concert stream go right into like some major world's tournament? Like, I mean, one right into the other.
They need to.
Like, yes. And they don't have to be the same stream, but like you program it on the front page of Twitch like that.
That's what needs to happen. Anyway, that's going to be it for part one. In part two, we're going to be talking about the latest What If Marvel episode, so make sure you guys stick around. We got more coming up on Checkpoint Daily.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Don't forget to go to our website, checkpointxp.com, for even more news, opinions, stories, all that good stuff. And follow us on social media at Checkpoint XP on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok for cool stuff. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the latest What If episode, and I'm going to just go on here on a limb and say this, okay? A lot of people were like, oh, this episode wasn't as good. Eat a dick. Okay, this episode was great. All right? It was a great, great, great episode. It was really cool, and the number one reason why I thought it was cool is because it highlighted just how terrible of a person Killmonger is.
I would be interested to know exactly how people decide to rate some of these episodes, because what's interesting about What If, and it definitely continues this trend from the Disney Plus series all being different, but with this, it even goes into like on an episodic nature. What makes each of these episodes different or makes them good differs so vastly from one another.
Yeah.
Because this episode reminded me a lot of the Captain Carter episode, in the fact that even though it got there a different way, it was still following the story beats of the movie that we know, which is Black Panther.
Yeah.
But you're right. This went above and beyond and really showed you that Killmonger is a terrible dude.
Yeah, he's not a good dude at all. And like, that's the thing that I really loved about it, is because not only is he a terrible dude, I think the film did a great job at illustrating how you can empathize with Killmonger. I think it went out of his way to allow you to empathize with Killmonger, which was the strength of the film. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, ultimately, he is a villain. He is a bad guy.
Correct.
Who has did bad things, terrible, awful things, in order to get to the position that he was in. And I think this further illustrated the levels of manipulation that he was willing to go mm-hmm. to in order to get what he wanted. And I think for me, those are always the best villains. Is not just a villain who is just, I hate villains who are like Abomination, who are just the big ugly villain.
Just because obviously you can tell they're
Just anger. Like, I hate that. I hate it so much. But then I also hate like the fucking Jesse Eisenberg Lex Luthor, who is like just like like, I hate that too. So it has to be a blend. It has to be a small thing of both. I think they showed a really, really great portrayal of Killmonger, even all the way down to like almost the very last time you see him. It's just great from start to finish.
I think that's, people remember Killmonger with like a veneer, I think, because he's one of the better Marvel villains.
He was probably the first great Marvel villain because he came just before Thanos.
Yeah, so I think people like gloss over the fact that he's reprehensible. That's what he's supposed to be.
But here's the other thing too: is the movie did a better job of showcasing him like up next to T'Challa, right? Mm-hmm. And actually did a really good job by the end too when they're both sitting there, you know, watching the sunset come up. Like at the end they were equals.
Yeah.
Right? And both sides could see like he's the bad guy, but
In the film, he's a foil.
Right. But they let him go the extra distance to be the villain in the episode, right? I mean, look, sorry, spoilers.
I'm here for Beard.
Like, he kills off T'Challa and Rhodey in the same damn breath.
Yeah. And didn't blink.
And then goes and convinces all of Wakanda, like, hey, look, I'm one of your sons, too. Let me join you. Well, and they're like, yeah, buddy, come
and
home.
And I thought it was brilliant because these are very smart people, the most advanced nation in the world, who still fall for the same things that smart nations fall for, and patriotism. Mm-hmm. Because what happens? He gets there, you know, him and Tony Stark create this huge army of drones that, you know, would be formidable anywhere in the world. He takes them to Wakanda under the veneer of taking it over or destroying it. And the illest part is that he could have easily pressed the button on the drones and let them blow Wakanda up. Mm-hmm. That would have been the easiest, most expected heel turn I think anybody would have had. But instead, what does he do? He hops down and helps them destroy the drones because he understands the power of that imagery. He understands, you know, what it means to the Dora Milaje to get down there and fight with
them. Yeah, let me ask you this. Of all the different people that you saw saying, oh, you know, this wasn't the best, blah, 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 blah.
They're all white guys.
Thank you. and here's the thing, too. Right? Because my favorite moment and my favorite line in this entire thing was the way that they used Tony Stark, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that line where Killmonger goes, the difference between you and me is you can't see
the difference between you and me.
That was such a good line. And all the white people at home are like, what does that mean?
But it is. It's like... Everything around...
That's a race thing, isn't it?
Everything around Killmonger is so brilliant because at the end of the day, Killmonger's existence is a microcosm for African Americans. He is a metaphor for the African American experience in a nutshell.
The reason that Killmonger works is the same reason that Watchmen worked as a TV show.
Yes.
Like the exact same reason.
But I think even more so because while the Watchmen was here's what happened if we actually began to reckon with racism. Look at the type of society we could get towards and what issues would come from that. I think when it came to Killmonger and Black Panther and his portrayal is that his existence, right? I always go back to this line in the film where T'Challa represents sort of Afrofuturism, where Africa is headed towards, where their minds are going towards, where they want to be in the future. His father represents Africa today and in the past. And there's a scene in the astral plane where T'Challa asks, why didn't we just bring him home? And it is a line as an African-American that hits you in the face that I can understand everybody else doesn't connect with it the same way, but it's a feeling as an African-American that you go, wait a minute, why didn't they just say, you know, maybe it's fucked up over there. Maybe we should go look out and bring some of them home. Maybe we should open our borders back to those folks. Maybe we should let them come and discover their own ancestry. And I think when you have Killmonger, and especially in this What If episode, where he doesn't run around and try to take over the country as a whole, where he says, no, I want my place in it. Now, I'll kill you for my place in it, including my own blood.
Yeah, see, I can't.
But I want my place in it. That is the part that takes him from a sympathetic villain, a sympathetic antagonist, to ultimately a chaotic entity.
Yeah, see, because what I kept waiting to happen in the final moments there, especially out on the battlefield, was he starts to strategically you know, making it look like accident, right, start picking people off and then take his place. And obviously, well, not obviously, but in case anybody doesn't know, there was a mid-season trailer that was revealed that shows more scenes that we, I think we have three episodes left. Mm-hmm. And I think for zombies and for this one, we're going to get a continuation in some form because there's a scene of which at the end, Shuri being the, you know, smarty that she is, knows something is up and basically goes back to Pepper and they have like an alliance forming now. But there's a scene where it shows Shuri, Pepper, and a bunch of other people like running down this hallway with like guns and stuff. So mm-hmm. something else is going to come from it. And yeah, to me, that's another thing that just further shows how villainous he can be is he doesn't just want revenge, which everyone would be able to sympathize
yeah, it's
with.
Fine, yeah.
He's like, no, I'm going to rule this now.
Yeah. And it's and now he is the new Black Panther, not the knockoff Black Panther, but mm-hmm. the Black Panther.
And the king was the one who gave it to him, so there's yep. no questioning there's no the legitimacy. Question.
Yeah, so it's very interesting to see where they go with it. I thought the episode was excellent, and I thought, yeah, if you didn't get the subtext, if you didn't get what made this episode good, I think you just didn't want to see it be good.
Which would you rather see turned into a full-length show, not just one episode? Zombies or this one?
I think this one is cool as a standalone and maybe a couple episodes that gets a continuation because I think with Killmonger and what makes him good, you can't do too much of that because
yeah,
it will
see,
begin
this,
to get
this would be
handed.
More of like an hour-long special,
yeah,
right? Because, yeah. again, I do think that it suffered from a few of the things that Captain Carter did. If you had never seen Black Panther movie, you're not going to get this one because it does a lot of jumping around, understanding that you already know what the original story is, whereas Zombies would actually need, I think, a good 6, 7, 8 episodes to fully realize the complete arc.
And I think it would be just a more interesting watch for the uninitiated, for the neutral to be like, oh, my God, superpowered zombies.
But
I
will also say this, that if I got to pick any of them
to
be their own
Star-Lord.
Series, it's T'Challa Star-Lord every single day for
T'Challa
the rest of my
Star-Lord.
Life.
Just give me that show.
You know what T'Challa Star-Lord is?
Mm.
Ted Lasso in space.
It is!
Yes!
He's just such a good person!
He's just going around making other people realize how good they can be.
Damn! The return of feel-good TV.
If it's negative, we don't want it around here.
It really is. But anyway, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. We'll be back here tomorrow for even more news, so make sure you guys stick around for that. For Weirdbeard, Robbie Landis, Chad Callahan, I am your host, Norris Howard. And you know what? Just go to be nice. Just say something nice to somebody today. How about that? We'll see you later. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.